And happy Sunday. Frank and I just got back on a team to do some service projects in Alaska, and I'll show you some pictures and explain it more next week. I am tired, and I'm saying that not to get pity, but I don't normally have a filter. I have zero today. So I don't know what's going to happen here, all right? We are doing a teaching series on Sundays called Reconsidering Some Great Stories. We're actually looking at some famous stories in the Bible at a little bit of a different angle of Jonah, and today is actually part two of that message, in a message I'm entitling Imperfection, Transformation, and Comfort Zones. Let's start with Jonah and his imperfections. When you read the story of Jonah, and I hope you will, we don't have time to read all four chapters today, but read it. It's an epic story. And when you do, one of the first things that jumps out at you as you're reading this story is this: Jonah had issues. He was a prophet, I'll give him that. He was also a hot mess when you read the story. Here is this prophet, and yet he tries to run away from God. He struggled to forgive. He was prone to hissy fits of anger, and he obviously cared more about himself in the beginning of the story than he did about the people around. He was successful in this preaching tour he took through the town of Nineveh, and it's amazing. Jonah kind of reminds me of this guy, and I'm going to date myself, Inspector Clouseau from the Pink Panther movies. If you've never watched them, Google them, okay, and watch them. They're famous in the 70s and 80s mostly. But this guy, this inspector, was just a nutbag, and he did everything wrong, but it always turned out right in every single movie. That was literally the plot of every single Pink Panther movie that I just told you, okay? And that's just like Jonah. This should give us all hope, first of all, because it's another example. Jonah's another example how God has this habit of you. I mean, think about the early followers of Jesus. They were flawed. They had warts and flaws and failures and quirks. Think about Peter. He often talked too much, and when he did, he stuck his foot in his mouth. He's my favorite. I wonder why, okay? And then there's James and John. They're disciples of Jesus. At one point, they wanted to call down fire on some people that disagreed with them. Well, let's sing kumbaya to that, okay? Jesus had to hold them back from that. And then there's Paul, who wrote much of the New Testament. He preached such an epically long and boring sermon that a guy sitting in the windowsill fell out and died. I've preached some bad sermons in my day. Now, he did pray, and the guy was raised from the dead, so he had that going for him, but horrible preacher, okay? And then two of the greatest evangelists mentioned in Scripture, we don't know their names, but they helped scores of people connect to God. The first one, was the woman at the well. Don't know her name, but she had this practice of getting married way too often, and yet Jesus sent her back to her village, and she brought the whole village to meet Jesus. What an evangelist. And then there was the guy from the Gadarene region who had anger issues. He lived in a cemetery, and at one point was famous for being full of demons, and yet Jesus delivers him and sin. It's amazing. These people were far from perfect, but God did amazing things in them and through them, just like God did with Jonah. Contrary to what you've probably heard all your life growing up, perfection isn't a requirement that God looks for in ministry partners. No. What God is looking for is people who will just humbly stand before the presence of God and say, "Here I am, God. Somehow send me, use me with all my quirks and imperfections. I'm ready to go." That's what God's looking for. So please, please, I beg of you, do not disqualify yourself from partnering with God in the healing and restoration of the world. Don't disqualify yourself into the trap of thinking all you have to offer God is your successes and your perfection. No, you can offer God your imperfections and your flaws, and God will use those too. Plus, and this is what I love about that, when you know you're imperfect, you don't have a reputation to protect anymore. And people that don't have reputations to protect throw the best parties, I promise you. So we got that going for us. I want to give you a great modern day example of God working through imperfect people. Her name is Laith McHugh. I've told you a little bit about her in the past, but I'm going to tell you a little more. Laith is far from a perfect person, and she hasn't led this perfect fairy daughter, was born with some severe medical issues and sadly passed away after a long struggle with health issues at only age 12, which is a parent's worst nightmare. Her son, during this same period, went through a serious bout of anxiety and addiction, and because of all this, her marriage was quickly going down the tubes. And yet somehow her and her husband pulled through, and now she is a life coach specializing in, you guessed it, helping people deal with grief and trauma, because she's had a whole bunch of both of those. But look, this is what I want to highlight today. Look what she writes on her social media as her bio. She knows she's not perfect, and it's her social media bio is my favorite I've ever read. You know, because usually bios make people sound spectacular. Here's Laith's. Line one, I like to cuss and I like yoga. Now, I don't know how those two things would go together, but I would sign up for that class in a heartbeat, okay? I like to cuss and I like yoga. I love my box wine. I like to get real. I was sexually abused. I am not a victim. I occasionally put too much heavy cream in my coffee every week. I love crossing things off my to-do list. Sometimes I add things after I've already done them just so that I can cross them off, and I have actually done that. Often fills my tank. Hello, Frank. Okay, I got to know you a little bit this week. And her last line, but I am always offering hope. Isn't that glorious? Laith is an imperfect person that God is using to do perfect things through. Just like Jonah, just like us. Now let's move on to Jonah and his transformation. I read a quote not too long ago that said, Christianity is all about transformation, and I wholeheartedly agree with that statement. Jonah was definitely transformed, and let me explain. When you first start reading the story, especially in chapter 1, you realize right off the bat, and it's quite evident, that Jonah was a religious nationalist. He believed everybody else. That's how he could rationalize his hatred for the people of Nineveh at first. And that's why he ran away from his preaching assignment there. He goes, I'm not preaching to them. He was a religious nationalist. There's another place in the Bible that shows us how into religious nationalism Jonah was. It's 2 Kings chapter 14. In this chapter, it says that good old Jonah, the prophet, was part of a group of people who participated in building a border wall to keep the Assyrians out of their country. Jonah and his tribe, the Israelites, had forgotten that God's calling on their life was to be a blessing to all the other tribes in the world. Instead of doing that, they were now trying to separate them superior, even going to war against other tribes. They'd lost the plot. Sadly, right now, watch the news and look at it closely. Religious nationalism is a huge problem in our times and in our very country. Many American Christians have fallen into the same trap that Jonah landed in. They think God loves Americans more than anybody else. They really, truly do. They think God wants us to be the greatest empire on earth, forgetting that Jesus often, quite often, spoke against that very thing. Jesus was always challenging the religious and political powers of his time, calling people out of empire building and into acts of service and love. If you don't believe me, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's in there in black and white. You can tell the people that have fallen into this trap of religious nationalism right away because there are some telltale signs. Here are a few. It's not all of them, but there are a few distinguishing ones. Number one, just like Jonah, they love them some walls. They love borders. They love borders. Number two, they refer to people as aliens and foreigners, not friends, right off the bat. Number three, they tend to discriminate against other races, even if those races are found inside their very borders. They still discriminate. Number four, they think being a Christian and being an American are the same thing, and they get those two things confused. They speak in terms of us and them with anybody that's different from them or disagrees with them. They instantly say it's us versus them. And the last one, and I've noticed this a lot lately, they whitewash their nation's history. They refuse to admit the bad things done by their tribe, by their people, and they will not let their kids be taught about it. They won't. Those are just a few of the signs. I think C.S. Lewis said it best when he said this about religious nationalism. Patriotism can become demonic when love of country becomes an idol that prevents us from loving all countries. Can I hear an amen to that? Jonah is a religious nationalist. This is why he rejected God's invitation to preach to the Ninevites. He wanted a wall between him and these people, not a message that would unite him to these people. But after a few days in the bowels of a fish, Jonah's transformed. He returns to his calling, the calling to be a blessing to all tribes. He goes and preaches to the Ninevites. Slowly but surely, I believe this transformation continued, and here's why. And here's where this story gets super cool. I've been waiting 2 weeks to tell you about this, okay? Several years ago, you might have read this in the news or saw it on the news, ISIS, that group, destroyed, I remember reading about this, they destroyed this mosque. I don't know if you read about it or not. The mosque contains several tombs inside of it. One with this inscription on it that I'll put up on the screen. Nabi Yunus, that was the inscription on one of it. Now here's where it's cool. I remember I'm a history nut, but this is super cool. You're gonna love this. Mosul, the city in Iraq, in ancient times was called Nineveh. That's what it was called. And Nabi Yunus, the inscription on one of these tombs means the prophet Jonah. That's what it means. In the story of Jonah, we're never told what happens to him at the end of the story. I always assume that he just went back to Israel and continued in his religious days, but it appears that was not the case. It seems as if Jonah stayed there for the rest of his life and then was died and buried there. I'm sure he did this because this just sounds so Jesus-y to me. I'm just sure he did this because he fell in love eventually with the people there. The people he used to view as alien and unlovable. I'm just sure he became a part of their community, allowing God's love to become more important to him than boundary markers and his cultural differences with the Assyrians. So that's why my prayer is this. Please, God, transform all of us the same way. Rescue us from the trap of religious nationalism. Release us into a life of love, community, and variety. We talked about when Chelsea and Dan were singing about God's destiny for us is to be free. Yeah, and one of the things I think God needs to set our whole nation free from is the trap of religious nationalism. God loves all people. We got to get the message. Let's end with this, Jonah and his comfort zone. I want to put up Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Let me read this for us. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaiming to it the message that I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord this time because he got barfed up on. This is after the barfing situation on the beach, okay? And he went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very large city. Through it, all right? After the great fish barfs him up on the beach, Jonah does something really brave, okay? He steps out of his comfort zone and goes to Nineveh. And because of his courage in that moment, countless lives were changed. Most of our favorite movies have this exact same theme. They follow the theme of the book of Jonah all the time. Some unlikely hero raises up and goes on this epic journey, and they step out of their comfort zone. I instantly thought of Frodo and Lord of the Rings. Here's this sawed-off little hairy-footed hobbit, okay? And he's in the comfort of the Shire, and the Shire in the movies just looks like, I want to live. Everybody loves each other, and yet he takes on the responsibility of taking the ring and destroying it in the fires of Mordor. I mean, it's inspiring stuff. There's actually a long list of people in real life who have done the same thing. There are so many people, and even people I know, who have heard this voice or felt a nudge in their heart, and they realized the Spirit of God was on the move and that God was up to something and something new was happening. So they followed that nudge because that's where the life is. I don't know if you've ever had experiences of stepping out of your comfort zone. I've had many. It's terrifying. That's why they call them comfort zones, okay? It is terrifying. It's where we get to engage the insecurities and self-doubt that linger there. It's a journey that none of us really want to take. If God speaks directly to your heart tonight and says, I need you to step out of this comfort zone and do this, you don't want to do that. We don't want to do it, but we need to do that because it's only outside of our comfort zones where our trust in God deepens and we become actually the people we are intended to be. There's a simple little diagram I came across and it describes it perfectly. I'll put it up here. Don't you love this? Here's your comfort zone. Here's where the magic happens. So if we want the magic to happen, you got to get out of this tiny little comfort zone. Comfort zones make your lives incredibly small, and God wants to expand our lives, and they won't happen in our comfort zone. It's not going to be easy. You're going to be scared, okay? But God, I've been reading all through the scripture, and I thought, God doesn't seem to be a big fan of comfort zones. He's always calling, all through scripture, he's calling people out of their comfort zones, but it turns out he wires us really well to function in struggle. We are all, every one of us in this room, are tougher and braver than we think. And deep down, I believe this with all my heart, I believe deep down in the core of all of our beings, in our heart, we actually want to do hard things. We want to do that. We know that's where the magic is. And we don't like staying in our comfort zones. You'll be scared. I'm sure Jonah was terrified. He was going to preach to his worst enemies. Not only did he hate them, they hated him. Okay, remember that. This was a scary journey. Go ahead and be scared, but follow the nudge. Go where you're supposed to go. Do what you're scared of doing. That's where the magic is. I'm going to end with a quote from Rumi, the mystic poet Rumi. I do love me some Rumi. He says this, "If you do nothing, you lose. Don't be one of those merchants who won't risk the ocean. Load the ship and set out." Oh, thank you, Rumi, for that. It inspires me to know that life is... He and Dan are going to come back up. Instead of a spiritual practice today, they're going to end us with a song that encourages us, a song Chelsea actually wrote about getting out of comfort zones. But while they're getting ready, let me pray for us, can I? God, thank you for the story of Jonah. It's epic. It's wonderful. It's our story. I pray for every one of us in this room, first of all, that you'll use us despite our imperfection. Help us not to disqualify ourselves from partnering with you and what you're doing in this world, Lord. You can do perfect things through the imperfect people that we are. And secondly, Lord, please transform us. Transform us and other things that are holding us back so we can be people who unite and not separate. And lastly, Lord, give us a nudge or even kind of a kick in the rear, Lord, to get out of our comfort zones and experience the magic. We love you. In your name we pray. Everyone said, amen. Chelsea, take it away.